Welcome back, friends. Nice to be with you again. We're here. Sorry we're starting a little bit late. We had a lot of discussion before the show tonight, and we're here with Dr. Gabriel Cousins, who's got a story from biblical reference and a message for America and the rest of the world that I think is really relevant to what we're going through right now. So let's go right to Dr. Cousins. Welcome, Gabriel.
Okay. Thank you, Richard. I welcome you all with love. And we'll start with a little blessing, merging the heavens and earth, heart and the mind. Amen. So our discussion was about the ninth of Av, which happens to be now. Okay? Starts in the evening. And it's a time that created, it was a time of disaster. And one of the disasters that initiated it was connected with, one, the golden calf, and two, Moses sent 10 spies to into the promised land. Not that he needed to have spies, because he knew it was already promised. That's why it was called the promised land. People didn't have a lot, you know, a lot of faith. I don't know. We got to check it out, whether we can make this work or not. And so, of the 12 spies that went, Caleb and Joshua were very positive and very good. And they said, yeah, there are giants there. There were two giants there and their families. And the other 10 spies saw the giants and that's freaked out. We can't deal with this. It's a beautiful land. Everything's really good. But there are giants and we can't possibly overcome. We can't possibly overcome. And the two giants were Og and Sichon. And they freaked everybody out. So you have two of the spies saying, hey, Caleb and Joshua, we can do this. Don't worry about it. God's with us. So there's two giants. Big deal. Okay? And the other 10 said, we can't do this. They're too big. We're like grasshoppers. You know, we don't even come up to their ankles. And all the people got very freaked out. And as a result, again, Caleb really inspired the people to do it, but these other 10 seriously undermined the will of the people to follow God's will. They're already given it. It's called the promised land. It's like you promised it. What is the problem? But people get scared. And they scare the people, and it was a big undermining. And there's a principle called a measure for measure. And Hashem spoke, or it basically was a karmic situation. You scared the people, you didn't tell them the real truth of what's going on, and you undermined the mission of Moses to bring the people to the land, which means you affected at least 3 million people undermining this energy because you didn't quite see it. And so they died the next day. It was clear that this is in a sense, the die connected, but die measure for measure and act of God. And the other message was, there's two messages, and then I'll explain what it is. One message is that for the rest of history, the Am Yisrael would always remember the ninth of Av. Something would always happen. So we have historically the fall of the first temple, the fall of the second temple, the time when Am Yisrael was kicked out of Spain in 1492, also in England in the 12th century. All were on the ninth of Av. Also, the Holocaust. Hitler was quite aware of all this. he initiated on the ninth bout. So all kind of bad things happened. So throughout history, there's a constant reminder that you really need to have faith in God, and these things don't happen. So that's the story of the ninth bout. This is the ninth bout. Here in Israel, people have concern because the Iranians are talking about attacking Israel on the ninth bout. I'm not sure that's going to happen, but it's this kind of a psychological warfare. But the point is, people in Israel are not really too upset about it because they know the bigger picture of ninth bout. So it's a time when we look at all the ways that we, in a sense, moved away and had a lack of faith in God. So the ninth of Av is a reminder that, let's get this straight. Let's put our faith in God. Let's put our focus on that. Let's get aligned with God, because faith in God gives you alignment with God's will. And let's do it. So in Israel, I think there's a lot of energy that way. My big concern is for the United States, that we have leaders who are basically not too interested in God anymore from the time of Obama, where they took the name of God out of the Democratic platform. And so my concern is, we have a government leaders. I know they're, thankfully for America, there are many people who believe in God. Thank goodness. You know, obviously the Christian world, the Jewish world, but a lot of people aren't Jewish and Christian. You know, they believe in God. So that's a really good thing. But the concern is that, you know, that could really hurt America, not having that overall faith, particularly the government. Has not been really not too supportive of the faith in God, you know, starting with the Democratic Party at the time of Obama, but clearly all the way through. Obviously, the Republicans, I'm not trying to be political, but the Republicans have maintained a level of faith in God, almost like a polarity. So people have choices about that. And it has to do, if we follow how this all plays out, is that when you abandon that faith in God, when a nation abandons that faith in God, and they don't do well. And they create a karmic break with the overall purpose of life, which, you know, from a spiritual point of view, is to know God, do well God, and uplift humanity. So that's kind of what we're talking about on this day. And the Iranians are quite aware of this. And they're talking about attacking on the ninth bout, which I'm not sure they're going to do, as part of playing out the day of disaster. Now, that's kind of the overview of the discussion. And a very important point is the ninth of Av is also when the time of the Messiah to be activated. Now, the teachings vary. We can talk about the birth of the Messiah, but we can also talk about messianic consciousness coming into a person and maybe with millions of people. So there's some activation of the ninth of Av, the messianic consciousness, and also the potential of an actual physical Messiah. Now, in the Jewish tradition, there's two messiahs that come. Messiah Ben Yosef, who fights against the forces of darkness invading Israel, and is killed at Megiddo, and Messiah Ben David, who leads the forces to defeat the forces of darkness. So this is all prophecy, but I'm just trying to give you a feeling for the bigger picture. But it's on the ninth of Av that messianic energy is activated. So that's a very important part of that. How does it get activated? It gets activated because people choose not to have not have faith in God. They choose to have faith in God and choose to say that there's a divine plan, and all we have to do is be cool and align ourselves with the divine plan and don't go into fear and contraction and let the divine plan play out and be consciously part of that divine plan, which is usually above our heads. So this is kind of the overview and the meaning of the ninth bhava in a bigger way. And I interpret it as, okay, it's a difficult time, but also a very good time. It's a time to look at where you lost, where we lose our alignment, and a time to choose to come back into alignment with God. Throughout the Torah, it's always like, You're out of alignment. Okay, you can return. Don't make it so hard. You just see where you've lost track. This is the formula. See where you've lost track. Change the pattern that made you lose track and commit to staying on track. Okay? And that's the pattern of reversing being out of touch. And we can look at Jesus coming along and also being a bridge where people didn't have, those who didn't feel they had the ability to directly connect to God, we have a bridge of connecting to God. So it's all about that one process, and then that brings things into alignment so the will of God can be done. And accounting on the people who believe in God, faith, and faith connects you to the will of God in America to be able to hold the energy so that the nation doesn't fall as a result of that. But that's my prayer really for America at this point, is to bring people back into their faith in God. Uplift America so it can stay with its initial approach with one nation under God. So that's kind of the bigger picture of the ninth bhava. It's a time of real redemption if you so choose. Okay, Richard, anything you want to add to this?
Really relevant and huge topic as always, Gabriel. You could certainly elucidate a little bit more on what faith in God means. Who is God and what is faith in the 10 minutes we've got? Should be.
Okay. So I see God as a cosmic force, not a person. As it, you know, in the Bible, both in the Old, in the Torah and the New Testament, they talk about God almost as a person. And it's really a cosmic conscious force that's here to elevate humanity, to become one with God, which is the purpose of that. Become one with all there is. So in a sense, that really is our destiny. So I hope that is a very short answer to your potentially very complicated question.
Let me ask you a question about that response, because I think that's beautiful. If God is an all-powerful, infinite, cosmic force, unlimited, unconditional love, why is it clearly in the English version, at least, I unfortunately don't speak Hebrew or Aramaic, why is it portrayed clearly as an supernatural person in the Bible over and over again?
Okay, let's go back. How many years do you think it is? How about 3,326 years? And what we have is people who are not the same as the people we have today. Maybe not too different. But clearly people at that time who were worshiping idols or Pharaoh or Baal, whatever, you know, it's a huge shift to be focusing on, and this is Abraham 3,760 years ago, 63 years ago or something, Abraham making the shift that there's one God both internally and externally, and it's not an idol. And that got him in a lot of trouble, okay? But he had this profound insight. So think back that many thousands of years where people were at in their consciousness, okay? Human sacrifice was normal. Okay, they moved it to animal sacrifice. Now we moved it away into prayer. Okay, so there's an evolution of consciousness. So at that time, the idea of a supernatural God was far more acceptable to the people than just, in a sense, the cosmic consciousness. I think Abraham had tapped into the cosmic consciousness, but again, it was like above people's heads. It just wasn't what people were, where the masses could handle. They could handle moving from idols to a figure, you know, cosmic figure. So I think it was more what people could relate to. That's how I see it. In the big picture. And then as we evolve, we begin to talk about the cosmic consciousness. So Abraham had some of that, but he also had the personal as well.
So if it was because people couldn't handle the accurate description, how did they come up with this supernatural person, you know, stronger than everybody else?
That's kind of Abraham. That was in his time, 3,700 years ago, that was one step way better than idol worship. See, Abraham's big revolution and what got him in trouble with Nebuchadnezzar is he said these idols are just wood and whatever they're made of, you know, wood and stone, and they have no power. And so that, what his power is a real God. So that was revolutionary.
So that included, right from the beginning, the story of God walking around as a person looking for Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden.
Yes, yes.
Like a limited human.
Or a supernatural human, yeah. Supernatural. Now, did people at Abraham's level really think that? I'm not so sure. He had a cosmic God and he had an internal personal God. But he was so far ahead of him. It's like, what are you talking about? You know, he had to have something that people could latch onto that may help them move from worshiping Baal, you know, idols of stone and wood and so forth. And not doing human sacrifice to them. Now, I want to clarify something here. Those idols did have power. They had different fallen angels behind them who wanted to be worshipped, and they wanted to be worshipped with the blood of kids. Very typical. And so they could do certain things. And that's all I want to say about that. I want to get in. So there wasn't like these people didn't know what they're doing. There were powers, and you offered your child and you got some gift that you got, some request. These things did happen. And the God, what I'm going to call the fallen angels, became the gods, like the Greek gods or the Baal, and they were supernatural powers. that existed and still exist. And if we look at the literature, we begin to see the return of the gods as part of disrupting consciousness of the planet. So there's a lot going on, okay? So I can't say they're just idols of the stone and have no power. They do have power. So that's what I would say. And understand it. So there was power, and people saw the power, and people could get blessings and, you know, boons, but they had to do sacrifice, which the blood sacrifice is what empowered these demonic fallen angels.
So
that's a little deeper.
So what is the real meaning of turning back to God, which is what you're advocating?
Well, there are the fallen gods who are not gods. They're demigods. And turning to God is going back to the cosmic consciousness of which we're all part of. And there's no figure. You know, it's a cosmic overall consciousness, which a lot of people are beginning to talk about today, even, you know, outside of religion, outside of traditional religion, that there it's God without form. In the Jewish tradition, even Abraham's time, we have form and formless. But again, form is what people can grasp. And he had enough trouble dealing with that. Before that, we had Nebuchadnezzar. He was the God. Okay? The king, Pharaoh, was the God. You know, and so we have that. We also have that in Europe where the kings thought they were divinely appointed and were gods.
So when you say that the U.S. is being led away from God, what do you mean by that?
I'm talking about we've been given the cosmic God. We've been given a Christian God. Remember, you know, I'm not talking about Jesus now, but, you know, the Trinity. We're talking about a God above that. And we've been given that. And so we're being led away from that faith in the cosmic God. We can call it the Tao as well. Chinese are working really hard to get rid of the people who believe in God, you know, like, you know, the Falun Gong, they teach about God.
Right.
Because it undermines dictatorships. It undermines humans want to be as if they're gods over people. And so those are the issues. So when we look at America today, are more and more people looking to the government as if it's a god? It provides welfare, it does this, it does that. Is there more of that energy happening today? My answer is yes. And
I think that's why they want this economy to be destroyed, right? And all these emergencies, because you'd be more dependent in those situations.
Exactly. And you relate more and more to the government as if it's God. Because the illusion is your welfare comes from that. And that kind of like gets people away from understanding it, only from God.
And it's really clear that because of the U.S. background as a memory of freedom for the individual, and because of the economic affluence that was created, America is being used by the dark powers to try to turn that around. But it's also global. I mean, the Olympics this year was not in America. And you can see the symbolism that was used there. And it's happening in governments all over the world.
Yeah, and that's the battle that's going on all over the world. That's why the Ninth of Bob is important in a more cosmic way. So you summed it up really well. That's what we're facing. So it's perfect timing for people to reflect on that.
So it looks like we're coming to some kind of a turning point.
I'm going to call it a returning point.
Yeah, you could call it that.
Because people are waking up and saying, this isn't really working. this is not making my life better. You know, and I don't want to make it political, but many people are saying their life is worse under the present regime than under Trump. Many people on the street are saying those things. It's true. No matter what they want to tell you, it's true. And, you know, I saw some interviews, just people on the street, you know, what's your life? And they were sharing the contrast.
Contrast between governments, is that what you're talking about?
Yes. Between the present regime and the previous.
Yeah. I think that the main threat to a Trump presidency in the U.S. is that his intent is not to destroy the country.
Yeah.
And he's anti-war.
Yes. And he's also more open to God.
Yeah, he just needs more consciousness. He's made some statements that I really want him to realize that they need to be retracted. Not just about the vaccine, but about destroying the country of Iran and stuff like that. I mean,
I just want to talk about vaccine. I believe he has retracted his position on the vaccines.
I haven't heard that. I've heard him change his position on mandates so far.
Yeah, that they're not going to be mandated. Well, that's a pretty important, that's a huge thing.
That is. And he's making that a big point.
Yeah.
I think the strategy of the dark side right now is really clear. They just want to go for complete control.
Complete spiritual domination.
Yeah, with complete destruction if necessary.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to work. And they're going to try really, really hard. But, you know, my sense is it won't succeed. The long run. But they're going to come close. And I don't want to talk about this country. I want to talk about the globalists. I don't think the Democrats are acting alone here. I think it's a worldwide attempt to create a worldwide dictatorship.
Yeah, exactly. And to eliminate individuals.
Yeah. So we're facing those very real things. And I don't think, in a way, it's going to work. It's working against God in that way. It's, you know, the way we interpret it is we're talking about the original Declaration of Independence, and Bill of Rights is that we are supposed to be unique expressions of the divine. I'm summarizing it my way, but that's kind of what they're saying. And this is antithesis of those original founder teachings.
So if you want to wrap it up and get to the bottom line, if somebody wants to return to God, what do they do?
Okay, I'm going to be really simplistic, but because it's true. It's totally uncomplicated. You just return to God. You give up your belief systems that there's no God or the government is God, and you just say, yeah, I get it. There is a cosmic God. I return to that, and I look at my thought forms that make me think there's some kind of mechanistic thing going on, and let go of those thought forms that the government is God or this particular politician is God. None of that's true. And you let go of that and return to the basic of knowing it. Now, how do you begin to do that? I talk about the six foundations. So first we need to eat not junk food, by food, it helps us become a superconductor of the mind, which is vegan life food, at least 80%. And then building our life force or prana, breathing exercises, Tai Chi, Qigong, service and charity, so we can touch into the God in other people. Working with spiritual teacher or with groups that are supporting going back to the spirit of who we are. And then meditating and praying, and turning into what people, you know, call the spiritual energy that's there. Returning to that, which we all have within us. And then it's really easy to access that experience of God within. It's there all the time. The question is, we have to access it. And these are the things that help us more easily access it. And I will add, relationship is another thing. You know, a healthy, intimate relationship is another really powerful way to access that as well. And connecting to the God in nature, in all creation, and as the Native Americans say, Omotakiasin, which is to understand about God in the living planet, God in the plant world, God in the flying and swimming ones, and God in humanity. So these are ways that we begin to reactivate our connection with the divine and all creation. And then it just happens, you know. But when you meditate, you are able to sense the energy a lot easier. So those are simple ways. You don't have to join a religion or anything like that. These are very natural ways that people have been doing for thousands of years, just like Abraham did, just reconnected to the cosmic force that's there all the time and is within us. Which is part of the great insight Abraham had, is he said, oh my God, it's in God, it's in me too. And before it was always external. So that's the overview and the encapsulation. Thanks for asking that question. So I want to bless everyone that we're able to do that, that we're really able to activate the consciousness of God within ourselves and let it expand to all of creation. And that way, we ultimately will bring inner peace that will bring other peace. I hope. Amen. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Om shanti, shanti, shanti. Om Adakulas.
Thank you, Gabriel.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Doug.
So the only thing I could add at the end is returning to God is going to have an effect on who we experience ourselves to be. And as we've said before, there's more power running through us than we realize. So the whole deal, in my perspective at the moment, and has been for quite a while, is what we believe, what we're connected to, returning to God. We need to bring that right down into our 3D life, our everyday experience, and getting quiet inside. That's why Gabriel and so many others talk about prayer and meditation being really important. And the world inside is vast. And the outside, it's to the point when, we've talked about this before, where the outside world that seems real and the inside world that seems non-existent or can seem that way, it's really the opposite. The inside world is where everything is and the outside world is a projection. So when we change consciousness about the inside, at some point the outside can transform into what it was meant to be. And that's the invitation to all of us. So Gabriel's programs about doing that are at treeoflife.mn.co and drcousins.com. And I would tell you also about planetaryhealingclub.com. And it's a little bit up in the air because we have to see what's going to happen to me in the next little while here. But that's where we're doing this work, trying to connect the inner and the outer worlds. And whatever you believe, the most beautiful vision of God that you've got, the way that you personally are attracted to doing that. The invitation is to bring that right down into your physical everyday life. Live it in the real physical world that comes from the inside. And that's what we're attempting to do, and we invite you to do it with us. So anyway, sorry we were a little bit late today. It's really nice to be able to talk with you. Have a good rest of the week, and we'll see you here next time. Take care.